For more than two centuries, American ornithologists have been naming birds after people, but now those names will be stripped from the birds. The American Ornithological Society has started a process to rename all birds named after people. WHYY's Peter Crimmins reports that renaming project will hit Philly hard.
Wilson's snipe, Peel's falcon, Audubon's oriole, Cason's finch, Townsend's warbler. These birds were named after 18th and 19th century natural scientists associated with the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia.
Many of the first descriptions of birds came out of Philadelphia, and that's why so many of these birds are named for Philadelphians.
That's Robert Peck. He's a senior fellow at the Academy. He said Philadelphia can make a claim to be the birthplace of American ornithology.
It's now understandable that people find associating human names with birds unnecessary. They certainly don't help us understand the birds any better. They do sometimes help us understand history.
The first two species to be given honorific American names were Lewis's woodpecker and Clark's crow, now called Clark's nutcracker.
They were collected by Lewis and Clark on their famous expedition across the country from 1804 to 1806.
Peck shows off two taxidermied birds from the Academy's archives. Lewis's woodpecker is a black-winged bird with a red breast. Clark's nutcracker is gray with a black bill.
These are iconic birds from the West that nobody here on the East Coast had ever seen before.
But the names Lewis and Clark will soon be stripped from those birds, along with every other bird name bestowed in honor of a person. Some of these people made extraordinary contributions to science. John Casson, for example, was the official taxonomist of the Smithsonian Institute when it was founded in the 1840s. He was so devoted to birds, it killed him. He preserved bird skins with arsenic. Casson knew his work would kill him.
He did know it. He knew it. There are endless letters from him saying, I'm not feeling well today because I've been working with the arsenic. So he was just so committed to ornithology that he was determined to continue his work right to the end.
Some of those scientists who are now lionized by bird names were also associated with ugly aspects of American history. Many, like John James Audubon and William Bartram, owned slaves. Others, like John Kirk Townsend, robbed graves of Native Americans for their bones. The good, the bad, and the ugly are right now on display at the American Philosophical Society's new exhibition called Sketching Splendor, American Natural History, 1750 to 1850. Curator Ann Majeski said these scientists were inextricably tied to nation building.
It's very tempting to celebrate these people's scientific contributions, and they did make scientific contributions. We try to also highlight that. But I think you have to engage with both sides of American natural history. It's a very complicated practice, which is related to all these colonization and plantation slavery.
It's not as if these birds didn't already have names. Native people, who had been living in the New World for thousands of years, had names for everything. The exhibition even has notebooks from recently arrived Europeans who were listing those names.
You know, one huge advantage that Euro-American naturalists had, they had access to Native American groups who had an enormous level of expertise in the natural world and the ecology of North America.
The complicated history of racism and colonialism baked into bird names is one reason the American Ornithological Society believes that some people may be turning away from birding. Jason Hall, the founder of In Color Birding in Philadelphia, leads bird watching outings for people of color. He's been watching this debate around bird names for years and incorporates the discussions into his bird outings.
We don't want our members falling into the volatility of anger and resentment, albeit understandable considering some of the racist histories of some of these names. And we think it's more productive to say, well, if this is happening, what new names can we give it? How much fun can we have with this?
People have been turning to social media to make up alternative bird names for themselves under the hashtag #BirdNamesForBirds. Hall points to the Blackburnian warbler, which is one of the few birds named after a woman, Anne Blackburn, an 18th century British botanist.
And it's got a bright orange throat. One of the coolest names people have come up with is like flame-throated warbler.
But the female of that species does not have that distinctive orange color. That leads people to ask,
why are we only naming these birds after the male type, right? Are there other characteristics that would be more holistic around the bird's behavior that includes male and female type? So I think it's opened a place for really new and interesting conversations outside of just, let's get rid of these racist names.
It's unclear when the new names will be rolled out, but the American Ornithological Society says the best way to participate in this process is to follow them on social media. Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.